Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The title of our lesson today is Loose Him and Let Him Go. Now, the Bible student will immediately recognize the title of this lesson as the words of Jesus that was spoken at the climax of one of his more momentous events in his earthly ministry. It was the time of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, as is recorded in the 11th chapter of the book of John. Now, this account is an inspired history that tells of one who was once physically dead, but he returned to life. Unlike many who claim to have returned from the dead today, we do not read of Lazarus reviewing his so-called experiences that he occurred during his death and thereafter. The importance of this event, however, actually lies in what it reveals concerning Christ and God the Father. In John 1 and verse 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." From Christ we learn about God. Hebrews 1 and verse 3 identifies Jesus as the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. In John chapter 14, Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me." Yes, in this event recorded here in John 11, we see the oneness of Christ and the Father. As Jesus revealed, so the Father is also revealed. And in this event of raising Lazarus, we take note of several characteristics of our Lord. Now, the record begins with Jesus being beyond Jordan where John baptized. Word came to him that Lazarus was sick in Bethany. Now, he was the brother of Mary and Martha. "And the Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." That's the message that he got. But Jesus did not react as maybe we possibly would, that is, going immediately to his side. Jesus knew that this was going to be an opportunity to glorify the Father and to identify himself as the Son of God. He remained where he was for two more days. Then he left for Judea. Now, friend, it was dangerous for him to make that trip because, as was explained, the Jews of late sought to stone him. But after Jesus explained to his disciples that Lazarus had died, even they were determined to follow him into the area of danger there in Judea. They said, "Let us go that we may die with him." Now, do we not see the great love that Jesus had for his friends? Are we not impressed with his sense of duty toward God and his mission here on this earth? We are shown his matchless courage in face of anger and danger. But even more to the benefit of others, he was able to provoke courage and confidence in the minds of his disciples to the extent that they were willing to risk themselves in order to follow him. He was such a positive example of leadership. And when Jesus first arrived at Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. He was met first by Martha, and she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Oh, the confidence that she had in Jesus and the knowledge of his relationship with the Father is evident. She was sure Jesus could have prevented the death of Lazarus, but even though he had been absent at the time when she would have preferred him to have been present, her confidence in him was not shaken in the least. She expected Jesus to raise her brother from the dead. No, she didn't expect that. But she knew that if Jesus had been here, As he had shown power over diseases, he could have possibly saved him. She said, if only you could have come sooner. Well, their conversation continued. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now notice what Martha said. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Notice, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. John chapter 11. Oh, there's so much revealed concerning Christ in that passage. The words spoken between them, well, they were deep water for Martha and for us as well. She had hope in the eventual resurrection, just as Jesus had taught. He had said in John chapter 5, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. For they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The truth is a comfort to those who are faithful to God and to those who are called to lay to rest the bodies of their faithful brethren and their loved ones in physical death. There will be a resurrection. But Jesus means far more than the immeasurable and eventual resurrection. He proclaims himself as the power behind the resurrection. He is the conqueror over death as much as he was conqueror over disease. He is the source of life. He leads mankind to victory over the last enemy, which is death. And furthermore, the life that he offers is an eternal life. This life can belong to the one who will believe in him. And this faith, which is the scripture always an active, obedient faith, is underscored for us when he tells us, you will never die. You will have an everlasting life. The life here of which he spoke is a spiritual life. As evidence of his power to give spiritual life, he would show his power over physical death. And he did this at the tomb of Lazarus, and as well as his own tomb. And he'll show it again with the coming and the resurrection of all that are in the graves. And to what extent Martha grasped all of this teaching, we only can wonder. But one thing she did know, and of which she was certain, Jesus is the Son of God, the promised Messiah that was prophesied to come. She confessed that truth regarding him. And while she might not have fully understand the extent of the blessings received in Christ, and who does, she did lay hold on the basic, fundamental, essential truth concerning Jesus. He is the Son of God. This truth is that which he wants all people to recognize, and from which we will see benefit. The truth is the foundation upon which everything about Christianity is founded. The foundation is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, the events that followed tell us more about our Lord. He was later met by the other sister, Mary, who came quickly to the tomb and to Jesus. The scriptures say that some thought she was going to the tomb to mourn, but when she saw Jesus, she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You see, she too believed in the power of Jesus to spare her brother, if only he had been present. And when Jesus saw her weeping, he was obviously moved with compassion and sympathy. And then we have what is the shortest verse in the Bible, as far as the English language is concerned. Jesus wept. Bear in mind that his friend had died, and his friends were in grief. And while he was deity, he was also humanity. He was fashioned as a man, Philippians 2 and verse 8. And he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15. but none can deny the compassion of our Lord toward those who sorrow and those who suffer. And some standing by, when they saw that Jesus wept, they said, Behold, how he loved him. Then Jesus commanded something very unusual and unexpected. He said, Take ye away the stone. That's the stone before the tomb. One sister objected because the body had been dead for 4 days, and doubtless lacking the embalming measures so commonly practiced today, decay had already begun its process. But Jesus insisted that it be done. He said, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Then Jesus prayed, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the peoples which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Here we learn the real reason for this entire episode. It was to provide evidence so the observers could believe in him. People now have this testimony from the Word of God as evidence of his deity. John wrote, Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. In all of this, we see the intense concern that Jesus had for the spiritual welfare of all of mankind. This event was not just for the benefit of recording what happened to Lazarus. It was to reveal to us additional information concerning Jesus, the Son of God. And then came that climactic moment. The scripture reads, And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. You know, sometimes people say, If I could only see a miracle, then I would believe. Friend, there were those present on that day that saw this miracle. They did not believe. Why would you reason that you're so different necessarily? Are they really the different kind of people from then and from now? Some saw the miracle and did not believe. Why would one necessarily conclude that he would be different? Do we not realize that the same power behind the miracle is the power behind the inspired testimony of that miracle? We fail to believe on the basis of the divine testimony, that is, to deny the power behind it. If we really believe that God is real and has power, he will believe that God has already done what he said that he did, and he raised the dead. What think ye of Christ? If you will properly consider what the inspired record has to say regarding Christ, will you not believe him? Will you not obey his commands? Will you not believe, repent, and confess your faith and be baptized into Christ? Is he not the Son of God? Oh, the evidence is overwhelming that he is, and eternal life can belong to one and all who will believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The eternal life that he brings can belong to me and to you. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.